greet you in Jesus' name. It's good to be with you here at Kirkwood this evening. The subject's already been announced, the troublesome root of bitterness. It's not a subject that is one that brings us a lot of pleasure, but it's one that is a scriptural concept, one that we have direct direction on. And so we want to look at that tonight. To get our minds thinking just a little bit, I would like to think about our physical gardens. Now, about this time of year, I start to get a longing to go out and work in the garden. I'm one of the few men, possibly, that likes to go out and till the ground and plant seeds. And so when the winter's getting cold and it's just dreary outside, I like and enjoy looking through a seed catalog, thinking about all the fun things that you could plant in a garden. There's just something about going out there and tilling up that ground, taking all that dirt, all that ugly stuff that was left over from the fall, put it all down, and you have this beautiful patch of ground. No weeds, nothing. Just beautiful tilled soil. And you can put all the beautiful seeds, anything you want to plant, but my garden tends to grow weeds. And you can walk down there 2 weeks later, and all of a sudden, there's all these little weeds coming up. It's just frustrating. Irritates me. Because I like nice garden. I hate weeds. And so you till it again. I really have a problem with a thistle. You pull this thing out, and it's got this big, long root to it. And you got to get them when they're little, because when they get big, you start pulling on them, tops will just break off. And that root is still down there. It's a troublesome root. And that thing will just grow right back. And so I can go out into the garden, you know, come about May, when you really want things coming up very nice, and there's these old ugly thistles, and you go down there and you rip off the tops. Make the garden look nice. Good. Got rid of them, right? But that troublesome root will continue to grow. And not only does it just grow the same old thistle right back, but it's spreading roots underground. And I have not eradicated it yet. The troublesome root of bitterness. Turn with me to Hebrews 12. It's where we find this verse in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Tonight, we need to be diligent. Bitterness is one of those things that can, it's a troublesome root, like a thistle. It's there to choke every good thing out in your life. Bitterness has a way of coming in and just taking over. And the verse is saying, look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root. So tonight we want to think about that. We want to think about the root that goes down deep into our lives. And you can break the top off. No one here at Kirkwood would know that you're having trouble with bitterness. But that root goes down deep into our hearts. And I've seen many a person, I've seen some people, their lives are destroyed from bitterness. It's like a cancer that's eating at them. And it's like, why don't you just eradicate that root? You got to get the shovel out. You got to go down deep. You got to dig that thing out. If you let that root in there, it's going to continue to grow. That's bitterness tonight. Look diligently, because it's sneaky. And I think there's times possibly when all of us struggle with bitterness. It's something that we're going to talk about tonight, and we're all going to struggle with it. But what do we do with it when we identify it? We have to get it out of our life. We have to take it out. We can't have verse 15 without starting with verse 14. It says, follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Here's what God wants for his people, to follow holiness, to live in peace with each other. And I believe that begins to start the process of bitterness, is when we cannot get along with each other, when we're not living in holiness and we become irritated with each other and we let those feelings go down deep into our heart. We'll look at that more in depth later as we go along. God gives us grace. It talks about we cannot fail for the grace of God. God gives us grace for every aspect of life. Do you know what grace is? Someone gave it to me this way. It's just simple divine enablement for life. And I like that. Divine enablement for life. No matter what you're going through, God has enough of grace to see you through. And so many times bitterness, this verse says, lest the grace of God fails you. Because we do not allow God to dump enough of grace into our life because we try to do it on our own power. Divine enablement for life. Life has a way of just bringing us situations, and we have to make a choice whether we're going to allow a root of bitterness to grow down deep. And the harvest is awful. Or we eradicate it and allow the grace of God to shine into our life. Just a few thoughts about roots. You know, roots can grow every direction. You have big old tree roots that go down deep. Go down deep. I think the biggest tree root that is on history went down 400 feet. That's huge. That's huge. That was in South Africa. It was a wild fig tree. See, those roots go way, way. I can't even imagine how a root could go down 400 feet. But that root will never come out. It's down deep, deep, deep. There's a lot of trees, though, that they'll just spread out shallow roots. Then there's roots that grow up. But you know that root of bitterness tonight? It doesn't matter how it grows in your life, whether it goes deep, whether it goes sideways, whether it goes up. Bitterness just wants to find a place in all of our hearts. Satan wants it that way. And we have to be careful, brothers. We have to be diligent. We have to focus on this root, this troublesome root of bitterness. It reminds me of Psalm 1. It talks about a tree. And I always like this. We know Psalm 1. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It's a beautiful picture of a man of God that has his roots down deep into the Word of God. Verse 2 says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's a strong tree. That's a tree that is allowing God to work in our heart. But you know, we can put our roots into this filth of this world. And that's what a bitter person is. Someone that is not putting the roots down into God's word, but instead is putting their roots down into the filth that's of this world. Going back to our theme verse, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It's verses we've been taught as a child. Be kind to one another. But you know, that's the answer, I believe, for bitterness tonight. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What is bitterness? How would you describe bitterness tonight? Well, bitterness, dictionary says, is a deep-seated resentment that lingers in the heart due to unresolved hurt, disappointment, or betrayal. It is an emotional poison that can grow when someone feels wrong but refuses to let go. And I thought about we should take a raise of hands tonight. How many people can identify with that? How many have had hurts in their life? Well, we all have. We would all have to raise our hands and say, I have had hurts. Have you had any disappointments of life? We all have. And if you haven't, you soon will. Have you had betrayal? Eventually in life, friends, family, neighbors, customers will betray you. People that you thought you could trust, somebody that you took them at their word, and they left you down, and it hurts. And you can't sleep at night. And you just sit there and you ponder. It's like, I just can't believe they did that to me. I just can't believe what they said about me. And it just gets in our heart. And right there is a root of bitterness when we can't let go of it. Right there. What does that bitter person look like? Could we try to identify what does a bitter person look like? Well, the first thing I wrote down is they're not happy. You never see a happy, bitter person. It don't go hand in hand. It just doesn't. If you're happy about what Jesus Christ has done for you tonight, you're not a bitter person. A bitter person is a person that often they're not happy. They're resentful. They're resentful about how they've been hurt. They're resentful about their past. I believe you see a person that is bitter is a person that is easily offended. When talking to them, you just feel like you got to just be so careful, because they take what you say and they twist it up, and now they're hurt, now they're offended. And they're just difficult to get along with. Possibly it's a person that's always negative. I thought about the children of Israel this morning, how that they were just always complaining, and they were complaining. It can become a way of life. A constant negative person is going to struggle with bitter feelings. I believe a bitter person is going to be an angry person. They're just angry at life. They're angry at people. They're angry at God because of what God left happened in their life. Often they're angry at family, at siblings. They have an explosive personality because they're so angry, they're so bitter. And it doesn't take much to trip it and they explode. They're not at peace, they're not at rest. What does a bitter person look like? Well, you see a bitter person that has an unforgiving spirit. Unforgiving. We're going to look at these points more as we go along. This is just kind of a summary. But it's an unforgiving person. They cannot lay down what has happened to them. They cannot forgive the person that betrayed them, the person that hurt them, whatever it was in life. They're unforgiving. It's a person that is just uptight. Can you identify any people like that? Now, we all have these attitudes. We all have these character traits, don't we? Because we all struggle with, at times, feeling angry. Maybe we struggle with being negative, and we struggle with being resentful. And so every one of us have to stop when these things happen in our lives, and we say, wait a minute. I don't want to go there. I choose to forgive. I choose to release my anger. It's choices that we make. We don't have to be bitter. It's a choice that each one of us make. The verse says, looking diligently. I already said it, but it's so, so sneaky. Without even realizing it, that seed, that root of bitterness can begin to find a place in every one of our hearts, including preachers. Every person that is serving the Lord will struggle at times with bitterness. So we have to look carefully, look diligently, beware. Beware lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness be found in our lives. Life doesn't always treat us the way we think it should. Life doesn't always turn out the way we think it should. Life will deal us a hard... There's hard things in life. Tragic losses. And how do we cope? How do we deal with that? And I would just like to take some time to look at some scriptural accounts of different people that have experienced losses in their life and how they dealt with it. And the first one I'm thinking about is Joseph. Was he just a young boy that was 17 years old, 20 years old, and he was taken away from his home? How did Joseph keep from becoming bitter with life? I don't know if we got 17-year-old, 18, 19, 20-year-old men here this evening. But how do you have that kind of a disruption in your life? Ripped out of your family life, brothers that hate you and want to kill you and throw you down in a well and just laugh at you. There's a verse that says Joseph was crying. 19-year-old man just crying and pleading for his life. And they made fun of him. Yanked him up out of that hole in the ground and sold him to the Egyptians, and they didn't care. That's betrayal. Your own family don't even care if you're dead. How did Joseph come through that victorious? How did Joseph's dad deal with that? How did Joseph's dad deal with the thought that my son is dead? The son that I just put so much of life into. He was such a good boy. I really loved Joseph. He was my favorite. Joseph was an obedient son. Why, Lord? Why did you take my son? Joseph's dad was just like we are. And then to realize years later that his sons lied to him and cheated him. And how do you deal with that? How did he keep from becoming bitter with life? I wonder how I would have dealt with life if that was me. I'd like to think about another account of David and Bathsheba. It's a story that is sad. We know David's sin with Bathsheba. Young ladies, how would you feel if you were Bathsheba and you were taken advantage of and used like Bathsheba was? We tend to read that story, but these were real people. Their feelings. Bathsheba was defiled. No one would want her anymore after David used her. Did you ever think about what Bathsheba's dad went through? To know that my daughter was abused and misused, and it was the king that did it, and you know the king, you know this man. Did you ever think about what Bathsheba's grandparents went through? To know that their granddaughter was abused. And the scriptures tell us that story. And I want to go through. Another preacher helped me see this. And so I want to use the scriptures. And we're going to walk through and help follow the story of what was taking place. The feelings that were behind the scenes. Can you imagine what happened when the story broke of what David and Bathsheba did? Who was Bathsheba's parents? Well, we need to go to 2 Samuel. We're going to go through several scriptures here. Follow along with me and hope I don't lose you. 2 Samuel, we have chapter 11. We have verse 3. 2 Samuel 11, verse 3. We have the verse. Is not this Bathsheba the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Bathsheba's dad was Eliam. Okay. So we go to chapter 23, verse 34. And we have this verse. 2 Samuel 23, verse 34. We're in the genealogy account. We have a whole list of men, actually. And this is an intriguing thought to me, because these is listing out David's top elite men. We call them David's mighty men. There was a total of 37 mighty men These were people that walked beside David and fought for him, and they were mighty men of valor. They could do tremendous things. One man went out and killed 800 men by himself. Tremendous men. You can read this account here in 2 Samuel 23. But we have the account, or have the names, verse 34, the last part. It says, Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite. So here we have Bathsheba's dad, Eliam, which was one of David's mighty men. This was not just a normal, Bathsheba was not just a normal town girl. She was the daughter of one of his elite fighters. There was only 37 of them. So I'm sure David knew, if there's only 37, he knew those men by name. And that's who David chose to defile. His mighty, one of the mighty men's daughters. Eliam, the son of Ahithophel. And so Ahithophel was the grandpa of Bathsheba. Who was Ahithophel? And so we can go to 2 Samuel 16, verse 23, and we can read about Ahithophel. 2 Samuel 16. Verse 23, it says, the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. We see here that Ahithophel was David's spiritual counselor. He was the man of God. He was the man that would give advice to David. David wanted to know, what does God want me to do? And he would go inquire at the hand of Ahithophel. It said Ahithophel's counsel was a godly counsel. And so I see a man of God here, a man of character, a man that for years served God. Now, can you imagine the struggle that all of a sudden faced Ahithophel? When David did what he did, Ahithophel is a counselor to David. And I think at nighttime, he just struggled to appreciate David. Possibly. I'm trying to put myself in here, so you can't read this in the scriptures. But I believe Ahithophel began to hate David. And at nighttime, he's like, if I could ever get a hold of that man, I would do something to him. That's what bitterness does. It starts to get down in our hearts, and you'll never admit it to someone. But it's like, if I could get vengeance, I will. If I can hurt them, I will. I just wish they would die. That's what a bitter person does. Bitterness gets down into our heart and begins to control us. And this is what was happening to Ahithophel. We know the story, and we can go to 2 Samuel 15. We have Absalom rebelling against his dad. Now, we don't want any part of rebellion, but we have Absalom and his dad not getting along. And Absalom rebels against David. And who does Absalom send for? In 2 Samuel 15, verse 12, we have Ahithophel. It says, verse 12 says, and Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, where he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Absalom sends for Ahithophel, David's spiritual counselor. How did he know that Ahithophel would go with him? How did he know? Apparently, Ahithophel was beginning to express his frustrations and his anger and his resentment toward David. How can you go from being a spiritual counselor and wanting the best for this man to being a part of the conspiracy program? But we see here that he called and sent for Ahithophel. Verse 31, same chapter, 15, verse 31. We have one told David saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. We're starting to see conflict here. People that you trust, we start to have David doubting Ahithophel. This is his wife's grandpa. And I believe that spirit was that the spirit of bitterness was continuing to grow in his heart. And in chapter 16, verse 20, we have the verse that says, "Then Absalom said to Ahithophel, 'Give counsel among you what we shall do.' And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, 'Go unto your father's concubines.'" And he said, "Just go make a real scene of yourself." And so he's giving counsel unto them. And in verse 23, it says, "The counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was if a man had inquired at the oracle of God, so was all the counsel of Ahithophel." And so his counsel was good. But we continue on, and we go into chapter 17, verse 1. And we're kind of following this life of Ahithophel. In chapter 17, verse 1, we have the verse, "Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, 'Let me now choose out 12,000 men. I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with me shall flee, and I will smite the king.'" Here it is. He's saying, "Just give me the chance, and I'm going to kill him." Why? I think it's because of the attitude of his heart. I think it was the bitterness that was growing because of what David did to his granddaughter. For years, that thing festered in his heart to the point where he says, "Give me some men. I'm going to go kill him. I'm going to get revenge." What happened? You go to verse 14, it said the people did not listen to his counsel. And now Ahithophel feels let down. He feels betrayed. He gave counsel. He said, "Let's do it." And the people said, "We don't like what you proposed. We're not going to do it." And they did not listen to him. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The counsel of Hushai, the Archite, is better than the counsel of Ahithophel." And so they didn't listen. And we go to chapter 17, verse 23. "And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose, got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself. And he died, and he was buried in the sepulcher." What a tragic end. A bitter root of bitterness. It took him down. Here was a spiritual advisor that could inquire at God and would give spiritual advice going to a man that wanted to be a murderer, a man that wanted to kill someone and take their life for revenge on a few more days and finally ending his life by suicide. Tragic. That's what bitterness will do to us. The troublesome root of bitterness. Bitter is something that is sour, something we don't like. It's harsh. It's distasteful. It's difficult to accept. I believe bitterness is a deep-seated resentment that lingers in our heart due to unresolved hurt, disappointment, or betrayal. That was the definition. It's like a cancer. We say it's stage one, stage two, you know, five stages of cancer. Stage one is you really don't know you have it. Stage three, you might know, and by stage five, you're gone. And we've seen those stages as through watching Ahithophel's life. And the same thing will happen to us today. Bitterness. How do I deal with the disappointments and tragic events that life brings to all of us? And I believe all of us would have a story if we were to stop tonight right now and just go down through. Each one of you would have something to share that possibly you really struggled to come to grips with and that you've needed God's help to find victory. Let's go back to a verse in Hebrews. Back to Hebrews 12. Want to look at the preceding verses. Verse 11 says, "Now no chastenings for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness, which unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. No chastening is joyous. But God is going to take all of us through troublesome times to draw us closer to Him. That's when we have to reach out and say, Lord, help me. Lord, I need you. I can't deal with this on my own. And it's only then. Well, we ought to look at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. That's the only way we're going to make it. Other than that, we're going to sink in despair of bitterness and anger. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I believe that's a key to victory over bitterness. Keeping your eyes on Jesus. Allowing him to control and change our lives. Verse 1 says, wherefore. And so when you see a wherefore, you need to stop and see why it is therefore. And so it's pointing back to chapter 11. And it's an entire list of people. We call Hebrews 11 the chapter of faith. People that said, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you. And they went through a tremendous time. Especially when we go into the Hebrews of faith. And it talks about people that gave their lives. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness, were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. It goes on and talks about the terrible things that people faced. And I again say, how did they remain victorious? What kept people from becoming bitter? Everyone that was killed, everyone that lost family had a family. There was a mother, there was a father. And possibly they watched their son or their daughter be killed and give their life for the sake of Jesus Christ. And they had to cope with that. How did they do that? The only way they did was by keeping their eyes on the Heavenly Father. There's times in our life where things just don't make sense. But we have to focus on Jesus Christ. I'm going to look at several roots. The roots of bitterness. This troublesome root. I think it's made up of several things. And the first one I believe is anger. I think anger is a key root. When you see a bitter person, there is anger involved. They're just angry at life. They're just angry with God. They're angry because God left bad things come into their life. And bad things do come into our life. But they're angry. They haven't learned to accept it. They haven't learned to lay it down. Anger is never a proper response to life. It's a natural response. There's times in life when we do become angry. But there's scripture that says, release that anger. It's a God-given response. And there's times when things do make us angry, but we have to deal with it. We cannot allow anger to control our lives, and so outburst of anger is never appropriate. Unresolved hurts and abuse feeds anger. I know young people that are angry at parents. They're angry at church leaders because there's unresolved hurts, there's unresolved problems that never got dealt with. But you know, it's a choice that all of us need to make, to either live with and allow anger to control my life or to lay it down. Anger feeds that root of bitterness. Another one is pride. I believe when an angry person, and when a person has pride in their life, those two together begin to mix and to create bitterness. Pride. When I really think I am somebody. And then when my counsel isn't taken, that's what happened to Ahithophel. His counsel was like the word of God. And he gave the word of God and they didn't listen to him. And it just seemed like that put him over the edge. He went home and hanged himself because his pride was hurt. Thinking of myself too highly, what happens when my reputation is tarnished by some person at church? Is it okay? I mean, it's not true. But, you know, it brings out the worst of us. When someone says something negative or something bad about us, we resent that. Pride. What happens when I don't get what I think I deserve? Proverbs 29:23 says, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." And Romans 12:16 says, "Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." Pride has taken many a mighty man down. Pride. Unforgiveness is another root that is very prominent in a person that struggles with bitterness. Unforgiveness of the hurts that people have done to me. They're real. Do you know what forgiveness is? Do we really understand what forgiveness is? Forgiveness is just saying, I lay it down. I forgive them. Yes, you were hurt. Yes, you were taken advantage of, but I choose to forgive. We choose to forgive even if the person doesn't come and say, I'm sorry. We choose to forgive the second we are hurt. We simply say, I forgive. And we lay it down. We don't allow it to fester and fester in my heart. A bitter person is a person that has been unforgiving, and they can tell you in great detail the injustices. I have sat with an older man, and he began to tell me about everything and how bad he's been hurt and all the different things in great detail. And I happened to know that situation, and I know there was brothers that came to him and said, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Brother, I made a wrong judgment call in your life. Please forgive me. And yet, 20 years later, he can tell me in great detail how those brothers treated him. Is that forgiveness? It's simply saying, oh, sure, I forgive you, brother. It's okay. And then a year later, I can tell everything. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is a choice to release it. We say, forgive and forget. You never forget. That's not accurate. But I choose to forgive and to forgive. And a year later, those memories come back to my mind, how bad I was treated. And I forgive. I just release it. And I say, Lord, take it. I'm here to serve you. We do not hold people. God will hold people accountable, but we choose to forgive. A release of indebtedness. If you forgive a debt, is it still owed? We know the scriptural account. How he went out and he forgave the debtor. If you're forgiven of a great debt, any debt, forgiveness is forgiveness. It's not owed. But too many times in our relationships, we want to go back and say, you remember what you did to me. You owe me one. That's not forgiveness. I wrote down here, how often do I replay the situation in my mind? Do we like to rewind it and think about what they said about me? And we think about my response, and I think and I like to replay that thing. We can't do that, brothers and sisters. We have to forgive if we're not going to allow bitterness to take over our life. Instead, we should ponder what God has done in my life. God has forgiven us a great debt. God has forgiven us, and we never deserved it. God has done so much for us. Let's focus on who the great God is. The fourth root that I have is not accepting the sovereign will of God. There's times in our life when things happen that's out of our control. Just recently, we had a couple sitting at our table, and they were talking about one of their close friends lost their mother, and she left children at home. She was outside and had a heart attack, and her life was ended. And she said, but the mother held that family together. And then she said, why? Why, why? And there's times in life where we say, why, Lord? But you know, we finally have to accept the sovereign will of God. There's no answers for that. Why did God choose to take a mother out of a home? It was already struggling. And the mother was the one that was the spiritual, holding that family together. And God chose to take her out. But it's the sovereign God. And we have to come back and look at God and say, I'm okay with it. Health issues. You know, we're healthy until we're not. And at the snap of a finger, we end up in the hospital. And possibly a week stay. And we could say, why, Lord? I want to just have good quality of life, and now I'm stuck in this hospital. But we have to accept the sovereign will of God. We could look at financial setbacks or accidents. Life's out of control. None of us can control life. And we have to come to grips with that. And we have to accept the sovereign will of God. And I believe you are tonight. But when a person cannot accept the sovereign will of God, we begin to struggle with that bitter root. Because we become angry at God. And we allow that to fester in our hearts. And that bitter root goes down deep. And our love for God starts to grow cold, because why would God be a loving God and allow me to go through what I'm going through? Job struggled with that. Job 19:6 says, now know that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I'm not heard. Job's saying, even God don't understand me. I'm out here, I'm going through all kinds of turmoil. But we know God did understand. And God had everything in control. Those four roots together, I believe, will make a great crop of bitterness. When we have pride, when we have an unforgiving spirit, when we do not accept the sovereign will of God, it's bitterness waiting to happen. And so we need to come to grips with that. I'd like to look at a few practical points here in closing. Practical points that help us deal with bitterness. Just to stop and to think about that what happens in my heart is more important than what happens to me physically. So many times we tend to think it's the external things. But really the important thing is what's happening in my heart. Abraham and Lot were men that went through life together. And look at the way their lives turned out so different. Abraham was a man that trusted God. Lot was a man that just followed Abraham around. If you read that account, I was struck with the times when it said, and Lot went too. He just went along. He just followed Abraham. If Abraham sacrificed, Lot also sacrificed. He did too. There came a time in their lives where their lives went two different places. And Abraham was drawn to God. Abraham followed God, whereas Lot set his face toward Sodom. What happens in my heart is way more important than what happens to me physically. And we see that. You look at people that you admire, men of God, older brothers, they have a testimony of faithfulness. And you look at the struggles of their life, and how did they remain victorious? Well, it's because they allowed God to work in their heart. But people that are concerned about the physical, and they just get all hung up about what God allowed them to go through, they die at a better person. Point number two is, most of the time, we cannot change life's circumstances. God allows us to go through things, and we just have to come to grips with that. That no matter how bad I want life to change, most of the times, there's times when we create our own problems. But I'm talking about the things that God brings into our experiences. Most of the times, we cannot change life's circumstances. Number three is, we cannot control or rearrange other people's behavior toward me. And you know, that just hurts when people say nasty things about us, or they run our reputation down. I cannot change that. I am responsible for my own life. I am responsible for my life in front of God. I'm responsible for my heart. I cannot control what other people say. And so I can control it by the words and my actions. But it's not like I can go set Brother A straight. We try. I think we just accept the fact that I cannot control other people or their behavior to me. Point number four is, we cannot undo the moments of harm that has already been done. Let's think about Jacob. Could Jacob bring Joseph back? Think of all those wasted years, a father and son relationship. Think of all the quality time Jacob could have had with Joseph. He could never undo that. Could Ahithophel make his granddaughter a pure, innocent young bride again? We cannot change the moments of harm that has already been done. And I think about the war-torn countries where sinful men do terrible deeds. And how could I live in a country like that? But there's men of God, there's ladies, there's people that are serving God faithfully there, experiencing great trauma. We cannot undo the moments of harm that's already been done. Life is not fair. God never said it would be. But he's promised us grace. He's promised that he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. And so when we look to him, looking unto Jesus, keeping him foremost in our focus, it's the only way we're going to make it. If we focus on all the bad, it's going to lead us to discouragement and to bitterness. Number five is, our reaction to the unkindness of others reveals our depth of our relationship to God. In other words, what's inside is going to come out. When people harm us, when people treat us wrongly, what's inside comes out. How deep is your relationship with God? You know, we have this cup of water up here. There's water in there, but what happens if somebody comes along and bumps my hand? Well, there's water going to come out, right? It's because there was water inside the cup. What's inside comes out. And so if there's anger in my life, if there's resentment in my life, if there's bitterness in my life, when somebody comes along and bumps my elbow, it's going to come out. People's going to know what's in my heart. Another way of saying is, what kind of root is it? What is the fruit that is coming out of your life? That root of bitterness gets down into our lives, unfortunately. And possibly we don't even know it. Possibly there's times when a brother or sister needs to help us see ourselves for who we are. That's what a brotherhood's for. And I trust we're humble enough to accept that advice, that when we become bitter with the experiences of life, that we can humbly accept help. What kind of root is in my heart? What is coming out of my life? Number six, pray for the person who has hurt you. It will begin to destroy that root. You know, there's nothing more that's harder to pray for that person that has hurt you. I'm talking about struggling with bitterness. And to forgive that person that has caused that great hurt in your experience, to get down on your knees and say, Lord, forgive them. Lord, give them a blessing today. And all we really, truly, in our carnality, we say, Lord, I want to hurt them. Lord, I want their day to go terrible. But can you pray a blessing onto the very person that has caused you great harm? When you do, it begins to kill that root of bitterness. It begins to dry it up. It doesn't feed it. It kills it. Pray for the person you're struggling with. Pray for the situation that is causing you great distress. Point number 7 is we will never understand the why to the hard things of life. They're simple points. But we don't understand God. We don't understand why. My cousin was 34 years old, and he was out archery. He loved archery hunt. And he was up in a tree, and he slipped and he fell. Fell out of his tree stand. Landed on the ground, and has been a quadriplegic ever since. Why? A young man in his picture of health. And today, he's stuck in a wheelchair. Can only move his hands just a little bit. And we say, why, Lord? And I believe, God, there's times when we can seriously, we can pray that to God. God knows our hearts. But we never say why in a direct challenge to God. Why do the bad things of life, why do the hard things of life happen? I just heard recently, maybe you know the couple, of a young father, a young man that was working on a skid loader and the boom fell down and his life was over. The bucket, hydraulics burst and the boom came down. Why? And yet God, in his sovereign will, has a plan. Number 8, when struggling in bitterness, God and your brother seem very far away. There's times in our life where we have to simply say, brother, I need your help. I'm struggling. Sister, we need to open ourselves up. We need to have somebody that's close to us that can come up beside us and say, be strong. But when we are struggling in bitterness, and if bitterness has really got a hold in our heart, our church family is going to seem very distant. And it's probably the last thing you really want to do is to go to church and to talk to your brothers and your sisters and to even open up your heart. And when that's happening, beware. I believe there's a root of bitterness in our hearts. Number 9, when I break out in anger and evil speaking, I know it's coming from a root. A root that is in my heart needs to be dealt with. And number 10, when I struggle to accept God's sovereignty, we need a lower view of self and a higher view of God. Job was one in chapter 20, or all through the chapters of Job. He was telling God all the things that he had did. And finally, when Job got quiet, God began to speak. And God just kind of put Job in his place. He asked Job all kinds of questions, and finally Job said, I didn't understand. God, you're a great God. God, you're in control. In chapter 21 in Job, he only had only 6 little verses. His response to God, because he understood God's sovereignty. He saw God for who he was. When we see God for who he is, it helps us put ourselves in the right place. Back to our text verse. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I'd like to again read verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. How can you run tonight? There's only one way to run, and that is to keep your eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, allowing him to guide you, allowing him into your heart. There's going to be times we all struggle with this root of bitterness, but when we allow the Lord to guide us and to direct us, he will show us, and he will make our way clear and plain. Simply wish you God's blessing as you face life and as you deal with that root of bitterness. May it not be a part of your life. God bless.